The fans came out in record numbers that night, from fervent true believers to dedicated big game collectors to curious dilettantes. It was one of those peak occasions in American sports in which the gravity of the event dominates the zeitgeist, momentarily transcending everything else going on in the world. As with any long-awaited showdown, the most loyal advocates on each side of the rivalry had gone a bit crazy with the waiting. They arrived in all their brightly colored regalia, cheer buttons, T-shirts, and the inevitable homemade signs. All the trappings were present: network television trucks in the parking lot, a collegiate marching band striding the field in a bustling pregame revelry, VIPs at every turn. Though the event was absurd on its face, like so much else that happened during the decade, it seemed urgent, necessary, and altogether logical in the moment. On Thursday, September 20th, 1973, in the midst of the widespread misery of an oil crisis and a mounting Watergate investigation that threatened Richard Nixon's presidency, more than 45 million Americans gathered around their TV sets to witness the most talked-about sports event of the year. It wasn't a football game or a boxing match or the final of a major tournament. It was a made-for-TV event, a reputed $100,000 winner-take-all challenge match between the top-ranked women's tennis player in the world, the 29-year-old Billie Jean King, and the 55-year-old former Wimbledon men's champion Bobby Riggs. The crowd that night at the Astrodome in Houston was the largest in history to attend a tennis match, with a record American TV audience for the sport looking on. Billed as the Battle of the Sexes or the Libber versus the Lobber, it was also a contest between two visions of what sport should be, and by extension, two visions of what America should be. As both a sports event and a cultural flashpoint, it was an occasion that would have been inconceivable a decade earlier, or a decade later. Yet it was consistent with the sensibilities and tone of the era, which is to say that the combatants were carried into the arena by costumed handlers, like floats in a Mardi Gras parade. Riggs and King were perfect foils, diametrically opposed in all ways, from their gender to their politics to their eyewear. Riggs, slight, flabby, slouching into middle age, sporting the standard-issue World War II-era black horn-rimmed glasses, already a vestige of the past, a huckster who'd been playing the con so well and for so long that he occasionally forgot it was a con. Then King, at once strong and feminine, resplendent in a sequined multicolored tennis dress, sporting blue suede tennis shoes, peering out from behind au courant oval wire-rimmed glasses, compact, focused, and deceptively strong. The event came in the midst of a galvanizing era for women in America. A year earlier, the first issue of Ms. Magazine hit the newsstands, and the New York Congresswoman, Shirley Chisholm, became the first female to seek a major party nomination for the presidency. In the summer of 1972, Congress passed the Education Amendments Act, containing Title IX, which promised equality of opportunity for women in high school and college education. Early in 1973, Congress passed the Equal Rights Amendment, and the Supreme Court rendered its landmark decision on Roe v. Wade, protecting a woman's legal right to abortion. The resistance to these shifts within the culture was swift and severe. No one better symbolized the backlash than the aging self-proclaimed male chauvinist pig, Riggs, who'd trounced the previously top-ranked woman, Margaret Court, earlier that year in the Mother's Day Massacre. The twice-divorced Riggs presented himself as a proud troglodyte on gender issues, and at the heart of his persona was a contempt not merely for female athletes, but females as a whole. "Women don't have the emotional stability to play," he proclaimed. "They belong in the bedroom and kitchen, in that order." Riggs's acolytes were in attendance that night, many sporting plastic pig snouts in support. One of the night's homemade signs read, "Billie Jean wears jockey shorts."